like credit card companies and other businesses. If you call, they say your message may be monitored for like quality assurance purposes or something.
You've been put on hold too many times.
Yes,
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, introducing the soft sounds of We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the cool cats at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hi, this is Fo with We Heart Music Radio.
Hi.
Do that again, sorry.
Okay. What should I say? Hi, this is Lara.
You remember my name, 'cause I'm a part of your history. You'll remember my name, just like a crazy melody stuck in your head. 'Cause I'm a part of your history. Remember my name.
I know that you had a camera, and can you give me a little more detail what happened to your camera?
Okay, so this is why I don't buy things that are expensive and electronic. So I bought a camera because I thought it was time. You know, pretty much everyone I know has some sort of digital camera, you know. And I figured, you know, I'm going to CMJ, you know, people want to see pictures. So I bought a camera and I had it there. And it was great. You know, I was excited about it. And then we had gone to the Natural History Museum. And so I was taking pictures there. And I don't actually know what happened, but I dropped it and it went like flying across the floor. And like like the battery flew out of it. And it made this loud noise, you know, because we're in a museum, a very loud, obvious noise. And so, you know, I picked it up and I thought, you know, these electronics, you know, they're designed to be able to withstand some amount of wear and tear. But I looked at it and like the lens, the shutter, I think is what it's called, was like just completely jammed and broken. And that's just, you know, that's the story of my life. So I didn't even get to use it for its intended purpose. You know, I got a lot of pictures of like, you know, of taxidermy at the Natural History Museum, but no pictures of bands playing. So that was unfortunate, and now I know. But another thing too is that, like, you know, I have a camera on my phone, but I'm just, you know, Bo, I think I need a professional photographer with me, because I'm not very good at even remembering to take pictures. You know, I'll be sitting and listening to the music and watching them play, and it won't even cross my mind, oh, this is a great shot. So you should hire me, a photographer, to come with me to these shows.
Don't take my picture. I try to.
I am kind of excited to see BDI. They're coming here on
Monday. Oh, yes,
Monday.
BDI.
That's a terrible name, I know.
It is. What does it even mean? Like, how can you have just one BDI? I thought, like, the expression was beady eyes, because both your eyes are kind of beady, like a rodent, you know, rodents have beady eyes.
I think Liam Gallagher was trying to be a genius, and if you look at it, it is B... D and I. It's the letters. B, D, and I.
Oh. B, D, I. But that doesn't mean anything to me. Does that mean something?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. It's not like it's an acronym for something, right? Or an expression. BDI. That's dumb. Bo, that's dumb.
Have you listened to any of their songs? Because
no.
Their lyrics are not smart. I mean, they're...
Well, Oasis wrote some... I mean, it's not like they were crafting, you know, like a really high level of poetry, but like their songs were catchy enough.
Yeah, and Noel Gallagher actually have mentioned that, like, he's not the world's greatest lyricist, and like, he... you know, he just writes what sounds good, and that's why you hear a lot of similar sounding words used
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah.
But when Liam Gallagher attempts to write his lyrics, they just come out really like daft. Like like one of his songs on the new BDI record is he's going up. You're going down, I'm going out, you're going in. I mean, can you get any dumber than that? I mean...
probably all the damage they've done to their brains has some effect on their songwriting these days. They weren't exactly what you would call sober individuals during their entire, you know, career.
And, you know, I'm going to sound like a real hater, because maybe I am, but I actually think that BDI is basically Oasis minus Noel Gallagher, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the thing is, they could have just have Noel as part of the band, or I don't know, they're not doing any Oasis songs,
right.
So I just really don't see any justification why they're charging so much for the show.
Yeah.
And the show hasn't sold out, but and it's probably because there's something to do with the $36 price tag
mm-hmm.
on their ticket, which is to me a little high for
yeah.
like a quote unquote brand new band. And,
right.
but having said that, though, I am gonna actually really, really enjoy this, because I think this is the only time I think I'm gonna be able to catch them. Because they're going to get really big, and then I'm not going to see them ever again. And,
right.
You know,
or they won't. Or they won't get big, and then they'll just
burn.
End. Which sometimes happens. You get to see, you bring the love, it's ecstasy. I see no point, what you thinking? I'm going out, I'm taking you drinking. I'm coming in, you're coming out.
So just to give people who don't live in Minneapolis an understanding, I think of all the venues, I think First Avenue may be, for its capacity, one of the larger, and I mean, you got like stadiums, which is the Excel
mm-hmm.
and the Target Center. And then if you go a step lower, you have like, as far as capacity goes, I think
mm-hmm.
First Avenue is probably... that's why a lot of big bands play there, like
yeah.
MGMT and
yep.
This other, I don't know. Who,
yeah.
who else has played?
You just got to go take a look at the wall. I mean,
I think
that it also has so much historic significance. You know, I think bands that could probably sell out the Target Center, I bet they, you know, they choose to book it First Ave because of the history and because, you know, Prince played there. And like,
yeah,
you know,
the
replacements.
Times.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's exciting. And, you know, I've actually talked to bands that have played there that are from out of, you know, are touring. And they, you know, they're like little kids about it. They're like, oh my God, this is the same stage that so-and-so. Like, oh, we got to go look at the stage. And like, it's funny because it's not really an attractive venue. Like,
no,
it's dirty. They probably never wash the floors. It's like, architecturally, it's not really... that interesting, you know.
I was told it was actually a bus stop or bus station,
yeah,
and then they
moved
it to a concert.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just damp and dark and
mm-hmm.
just kind of ugly. But
yep.
But there's so much nostalgia around Purple Rain.
Yeah.
that,
yep. It's you're right. I think they have that new restaurant bar next to called the Depot, which I think is in reference.
Have you eaten there?
It's all right. It's, you know, it's like we got just sort of the typical bar food, like fried stuff. And it was, you know, it's hard to go wrong, I guess, with like tater tots or whatever. So it was fine. It's kind of nice that it's right there. So, you know, you don't have to really travel far if you want something after a show.
Yeah, and I'll give you a little, I guess, insider information. But if you go to a show at 7th Street, you can actually just head out to use their bathroom at the depot and then come back.
Yeah.
And you're fine.
Yep. Yeah, which is great because the bathrooms at 7th Street are terrifying. Like, I always feel like – and actually, though, I didn't realize that for, like – years I'd been using the men's bathroom because I thought there was only one bathroom and apparently there's a ladies bathroom that's a little bit cleaner and I think a little bit newer, but I was using the men's. I'm like, why is this so disgusting?
Yeah,
why is
it
there
is
like piss all over the place? And that's why.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes, let's go to that new place. With a name a bit like that place. Where the famous get so out of their face, they die of fatal cocktails or chemically mace. We'll be rubbing shoulders with the stars in a outer space. There will be 7 foot women there, 5 o'clock shadow, rammed into ladies' underwear. And the animals go in, two by two. Into the circus, into the zoo, into the loo.
So you just actually missed Wharton Wilson's Riot EP party.
Yeah, I did, and I'm disappointed about that because I reviewed their latest release, their EP, and. It was really, I've liked them for a while now, and I liked the release. And so they were having this big party at the Triple Rock Social Club, another venue. And they were playing with another local band, Phantom Tales. I think it was, maybe it was their release too. It was like a double release, something like that. So it was supposed to be a big show, but then it snowed. And even though it was very bearable snow, it still kind of dampened my spirits, so to speak. And I just didn't feel like making the commute over there. But I'm sure it was a great show. I'm sure there were tons of people. And, you know, I actually haven't seen Fort Wilson play many live shows. I saw them for the first time at a New Year's Eve party years back, and I always thought they were kind of, you know, interesting. You know, they had sort of an interesting style that I couldn't really place, and that didn't really seem like it was just recycling the same sort of sounds that, you know, other other Minneapolis artists tend to do. So their release is great. I would recommend it. And they seem like very nice people as well, the two of them.
So are they like a real-life couple? Just a question.
I think so. I think I remember hearing that. You know, it's not like they're getting handsy on stage, but I think they are. I think that was the consensus. And the two of them are all actually – I'm not sure if this is true, but they at least used to be in another band, another local band.
Yeah, Ice Palace, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The impression I get is that they're very much, they're very diligent in their craft. Like, they're either recording or they're touring or they're playing shows. Like, they don't seem to be, even if it seems like they're on a break, like if they're, haven't released anything, like they're usually playing somewhere. Yeah. And that's great. You know?
anyone today. Give yourself a present. Make sure to try to get somewhere before 11. I will be a little bit to the right. There will never be another.
I think I'm mistakenly referred to him as a British guy, but he's not. His name is Jamie N. Commons, and he lives in England, and he's been living there for a while now, but I think he's actually born in the U.S., so he's not British-born. But he talk about voice, like, he has another great voice. He gets a lot of comparisons to, like, Tom Waits and... like Johnny Cash, you know, because he has sort of that deep, gravelly voice. And he's very young, too. I think he's only like 22 or something, you know, very young. So it's funny because when I was sent his music, you know, I was listening to it, and that was before I even saw what he looked like. And so I was imagining what he looked like in my head. And then I saw a picture of him, and he's this like skinny little white guy, you know, with this deep, like gravelly, like smoke too many cigarettes sort of voice. And it was almost like watching him sing, like somebody had like dubbed over it, like took someone else's voice. It doesn't match, but that's another, you know, sort of interesting characteristic about him as a musician. He's very much, you know, he's sort of this mysterious force. Like, there's a very dark quality to his music. I've been enjoying his music. It's hard since he's based out of the UK, like, it's kind of hard to find his music available to buy as someone from the US, because I ran into this problem where I was trying to download some of his music from iTunes, but it was iTunes UK.
Oh, right.
And I guess there's like, you can't, as somebody who is using iTunes US, they wouldn't let me. So I don't know if that's going to change. You know, I think you can buy hard copies of the album, like, through his website, but who does that anymore? Just kidding.
Yeah, when you say Tom Waits, I think of an old, losing his hair kind of guy, very, you know, like, but you're saying this guy is just, you know, in his 20s.
He's very young. He's kind of dreamy too. I bet he gets a lot of female attention.
But with that voice, though, I mean, you gotta be like, right?
Yeah, he gets comparisons to Tom Waits, but he's not. It's not full on Tom Waits. Like, there's much more of an attractive, like, pleasing quality to his voice than Tom Waits. I like Tom Waits' voice, but, you know, it's not like sexy. I don't think it is, personally. Some might feel otherwise, but especially when, you know, in some of his more recent releases, like, he gets a little bit more experimental and his voice takes on like an even creepier quality. This guy's voice, maybe I would compare him to, do you remember when that local musician, Johnny Lang, do you remember when he came out? It was sort of the same thing. Like, he had this big sort of soulful voice, and he was this little white guy again too. It was that same sort of feel, maybe, is a better comparison. I think Jamie Commons gets compared to Tom Waits and Johnny Cash for songwriting reasons too. You know, kind of darker subject matter. A little bit of like a biblical reference, you know, or like a religious reference, but not in like a right wing sort of way. Very moody songs.
Well, up in the north where the cold winds blow over the prairie gold, there's a church bell screaming on the steeple high. children of men. One hand on the trigger, one hand on the cross. Jesus and his family are two things he's lost. Marching to the scaffold and string him up on high. The call came out from the crowd. There's blood in their eyes and blood in their hearts, for the blood turning dry on his hand. One hand on the trigger and one hand on the cross. Jesus and his family are two saints he's lost.
And you always hear about these stories. Like, I think this last Black Friday, do you remember reading about that story? I think it was in California or Miami or something, where there's a woman that pepper sprayed the crowd in order to, like, gain it some sort of advantage.
Yeah, that gives me some ideas because...
No, I think things like that bring out the worst in people. Like, I think something like a giant sale, like... For whatever reason,
people revert to
very, like, primitive sort of mentality. It's like the crying and the pushing and the, like, unintelligible screaming to try to get, like, the last, you know, Blu-ray DVD player or whatever, you know, that's on special. And it's just, you know, I love deals. I do. I love deals. But I mean, maybe if I had something in mind, like if I was looking for a really cheap, you know, electronic item, and if there's a Black Friday sale where it was ridiculously cheap, like maybe I would, but I don't really have any of that, and I just think it sounds like literal hell to have to wait in line for hours and then claw my way through the crowds.
I'll give you a Black Friday story that I think you can take to next year.
Okay.
So one of the big problems is that you actually spend more time in line than you do actually shopping because there's such a massive checkout. And after we bought our shopping at Best Buy, we stood in line and the line went all the way around the store. I'm not even kidding. It goes all the way around. And And the guy behind us didn't have anything in his hand. He had, like, maybe a DVD. And then as we were approaching the checkout, I started noticing his collection building up. So he had like, so apparently what he was doing is that his family was actually shopping and he was the line. And by the time they were done shopping, he was ready to check out. And that was really smart because.
That is smart. Wow.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that instead of my pepper spray. Anyway.
Oh my God, I'm bringing a loaded gun if I ever go. But it's like when you're a jazz musician, like you're just covering like old standards, you know, it's like there's not much new that's being produced.
No, you're totally right about that. But like the jazz standards are well known. I mean, you know.
Right. And, but it's like what kind of gigs do you get, like besides playing in the background at an upscale restaurant, you know.
What's that one at the Palmer Bar? Don't they do a lot of jazz stuff?
Palmers, do they?
Maybe. I've never...
kind of scary to have jazz music. I always hear fights. Like, that's the bar that's notorious. Or used to be for, like, bar brawls or something. Maybe they have a jazz night. I should check that out.
I think they do have jazz-related showcases and stuff. Not that I know, because I obviously don't. Not my cup of tea, but... jazz, I think it's complicated enough that because you can actually improvise in the song itself.
Yeah.
So it's actually every song is a brand new song, but
that's true.
No, you're right. I mean, a lot of it is standards. In fact, I can't think of any current jazz, like current.
Well, darling, I guess my mind's more at ease, but nevertheless, why stir up memories? I've been invited on dates, could have gone, but what for? Awfully different without you. I don't get around much anymore.
They're very close knit. It's almost like an incestuous relationship. And I know bands that are trying to break out of the Twin Cities have like a love hate relationship with that. Because it's I can imagine it's hard to leave when you have such a loyal following here. And so the idea of, you know, moving to maybe New York where you have bigger opportunities but are less known, and there isn't sort of that spawning that happens to bands here.
But it's probably not as loyal as a, I guess, following.
No.
You know what's crazy is actually a lot of Minneapolis band actually make it big, but overseas. Like, for instance, like Rough Trade Records recently signed, or maybe not signed, but distributed records for Minneapolis band. I know that Solid Gold is doing really well in the UK.
Yep.
And there's actually another band I just saw recently that was also picked up by Rough Trade. And I don't know, do you know anything about Rough Trade Records?
No. I mean, I besides being familiar with the name, I don't know anything about their history or what sort of band.
Well, they're based out of Manchester.
Okay.
And they're one of the first record label that signed, like, The Smiths.
Oh, wow.
In 1982, you know?
Wow.
And Rough Trade has a huge history of, like, obviously, because I'm a big Smiths fan, that I think that anytime they touch bands in the U.S., you know, I'll perk up and take a notice. But there's recently just a band I just saw, and I was surprised because that band isn't even known in Minneapolis, or at least in the scene.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Are they a Minneapolis band?
Yeah, they're Minneapolis band, but maybe you've heard of them. Let me look them up. Hang on. Sorry, this is intermission music.
Okay.
All right, so they open up for Tune Yards.
Okay, yeah.
And they're called Howler.
Oh, yeah. I have heard of them.
Oh, you have?
Because Clyde
has a lot.
Been on my case about it. Like, have you heard of Howler? Do you know who they are? Huh. And so I had not when he first mentioned it. So I looked them up, and I think there's another connection, because I think the their independent label that they started on is a local label.
Okay.
And aren't they pretty young?
Yeah, they're really young. They seem like they just got out of like college or possibly right out of high school. I feel like I feel like they haven't done much to deserve the attention that they've gotten, you know, because there's bands that's played here for years and years and have not been picked up by any label, you know what I mean? And I feel like this band kind of like, you know, started off like exploded. And then, so I don't know. It's kind of curious to see where they'll be in the next few years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have some sort of connection to that band, Total Babe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like maybe one of the musicians that was in Total Babe is now in Howler.
Okay.
And I think they were all on the same like independent label before Howler, you know, made it big. I've been hearing a little bit more about them, but you're right. I don't recall seeing them much around Minneapolis.
You know what's funny is I think Total Babes when they started, when I first heard of them, they were like 16. I mean, they were like really young.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I know. That's like
Harry Potter age. Like.
I know. if you can do it at that age, that's great. But it's a little hard being older and listening to those sort of bands. I always wonder about that. Like, this is going off a bit on a tangent, but I always wonder about these bands that are, you know, comprised of really young musicians, like either high school or maybe fresh out of high school. And I wonder, like, you know, how much do they have to write about, you know, and how much life experience have you had? And, you know, I mean, really, what is the depth of the music?
Right. No, I've definitely listened to young bands, and a lot of their lyrics seems to revolve around driving and history homework and, you know, in school. And you're like, wow, I can't relate to any of this, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's what your life is like when you're that age, unless you've, you know, had a really difficult childhood. I guess maybe there's some material there, but I think, you know, from what I've seen, it's sort of, you know, they serve as a niche, you know, they get older.
The best part is when they write about love and you're like, oh my God, kid, you are.
You don't know what that's about. Like, just because you like doodled hearts on your notebook doesn't mean you've ever felt love.
Sorry. I shouldn't make fun of them because they.
No, they're doing what they can. I mean, look at Hanson. They blew up. So it's possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bop.
I mean, they wrote all their own songs, and you know, it wasn't like some of these other manufactured young pop bands that were coming out of that time. Like, I don't know what the hell Mbop is about, but it caught on, and they were like, you know, they swept the nation. So it's possible that, you know, that adults can, well, I don't know how many adults were listening to Hanson, but it's possible that they can touch on something that is appealing to a wider range of ages.
Do you know this Minneapolis band called the Adamans?
Adamin.
Abdomen, like your ab.
Oh, abdomen, like
yes.
Your belly?
Yeah.
No, I have not heard of them.
they are a Minneapolis brother, sister, and dad.
Oh my and, God. That's amazing. So they're like the Partridge Family.
Anyway, they're based out of Minneapolis. I saw them a few times. They're very young. They're like they were in like high school when their dad when they had their dad in the band. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, so they kicked out their dad. I know.
Wow.
And then they changed the name to Lyndhurst, and so now they're
Lyndhurst. Yes, I've heard of Lyndhurst.
Yes. So they're all 18, I think, now, and, you know, obviously a little grown up.
I don't believe in heroes, don't believe in second collapses or shopping mall romances. I don't believe in fist fights on who's right, but you might just throw it all away, 'cause I believe in.
Yeah, we have to do this again some other time. Man, it's like I said, it's really good talking to you. I guess I don't really talk to you much, so I don't know. I know.
I haven't seen you out and about that much either.
I don't go out during the winter, so maybe talk to
you
around like springish. And let me know.
See you in the spring.
When
I was young, I lived in a world of dreams, of moods and myths and illusionary schemes. Though now I'm much more grown up, I fear that I must own up to the fact that I'm in doubt of what the modern cynics shout of. They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing.